So let me start. Thank you to this meeting, this invitation for this meeting. So I will speak of a way to see the theory of fundamental particles, which is based on the idea that to describe them, you have two kinds of objects. You have, out from the outer point of view, space-time with its metric. So the group of invariant, there is a Poincaré group. And the idea is that the classification of particles is themselves, there is an inner space, which is a quantum space, because I think it's a quantum theory which is behind, and which is described by a finite dimensional observable algebra. Okay? So space-time is described by the function, smooth function of space-time, and there is a supplementary structure, which you have the Lorentzian metric, which implies that the automorphism group is not the whole diffeomorphism group, but is only the Poincaré group. So on the side of the inner space, I have what I will call a finite quantum space, which is described by a finite dimensional observable quantum algebra of observable, plus eventually some supplementary structure, which means that the group which is important is not the whole group of automorphism of this algebra of observable, but the group which preserves the substructure. Okay. Now, of course, particles themselves are not there, because this is, finally, I have just added to space-time a finite quantum space-time. But you know that to have a particle, you have to look at some module over the function space-time, so section of some bundle, which are equivariant for the Poincaré group. For instance, for particle of spin 1/2, you have to look at the set of the module over the function of spinor field over the space-time. So on the other side, you will have some algebra of observable, and you will have a module over this algebra of observable, which is the analog of the other side. Okay. So this is the idea. So of course you can put all this together, saying that you replace space-time by you describe space-time, you replace space-time by its function, and finally by the function with value in the quantum, the finite dimensional quantum algebra of observable. Okay. And now you have a module over that, which describe, which have an inner space and an outer space. Okay, outer space is familiar, the spinor, the section of the spinor bundle, and inner space, which help. Okay, so during a lot of time in this picture, I just try. So this is what I was saying. Okay, I hope. So you see, the idea is that the external geometry is a Lorentzian space-time, so you look at the smooth function over there with the action of automorphism by the Poincaré group on this. And for the inner geometry, you have a finite quantum geometry, which is described by a finite dimensional algebra of observable with some further structure, and the group of interest then will be, which replaces for, which is the analog for the inner space of the Poincaré group, will be a subgroup of the Poincaré group, of the automorphism group of this algebra of observable, which preserves the structure. And you are looking then over this to equivariant module over G. So I will explain all this in detail after. So finally, what you have the function on spacetime with value in the some finite dimensional algebra of observable, and you will look at G module with connection in order to speak of the gauge interaction and things like that. And okay, so let me see. During some time, you see, it was a little fishing. I take a matrix algebra. Of course, the algebra of observables were the self-adjoint part of this. But here, we shall need something more. Let me see. This came from a strange question that I asked me 10 years ago on the quark. The color SU3 for the quark. The question was why SU3, why the unimodularity? Because of course you have the three colors, so you can say, well, the inner space for the quark, one quark, is a Hilbert, a three-dimensional Hilbert space, and then of course the group, the natural group there is U3, not SU3. So if you have SU3, you have something more, which is important to see what it means geometrically, which is obvious. Geometrically, it means that you have a volume on your three-dimensional space, E, say. So you know. But what to do with the volume? So you are in three dimensions, so you can do the volume is a trilinear form, okay? With a trilinear form and a scalar product, you can construct a linear product over C3, the space which has called E. C3. So this product is defined by saying that the volume of Z1, Z2, and Z3 is a cross product of Z1 with Z2, scalar Z3. So this defines an antilinear, antisymmetric product on the space E, which corresponds to C3. So now you see SU3 is the group which preserves this product and the scalar product. Okay? So it is natural to ask what can we say for this norm of this new product. Okay? And what you discover by doing that is that the norm square of then Z1 cross big Z1 cross big Z2 is the norm square of Z1 cross the norm square of Z2 minus the absolute value square of the scalar products of Z1 and Z2. So you see that if you had a unit and if you say that Z1, you complete Z1 by a projection on the unit, okay? You can say that Z1, when I take the cross product of Z1 and Z2, the part which is the cross product is this cross product, and the part which is the component on the unit that you have added is essentially the scalar product in order to kill this thing, in order that when you do that, so I had a unit, so I had all this relation, and now you see with this, if you combine your cross product with the scalar product with some phase, any phase, then you find immediately that the norm of big Z1 square and big Z2 square, the complete norm, so y compris its projection on the unit, is precisely the product of the norm, okay? So naturally, you will extend this to pair of one complex, which is a component of the unit, and the big Z1, okay? And the same thing for Z2. And you want to define the product, and it's natural to ask that the product verify again that the norm of the product is the product of the norm over not only over the element of E, but on E plus C. So that is C plus C three. Okay? Now, you can do that in a lot of ways, for instance, by choosing different complex of module one, alpha and beta. And, well, one solution is the one which I wrote here. In fact, when I made my computation, I did not fall on this one. I take this one because this one is more obviously connected with the octonion. So when you see this product, you see immediately that if I multiply big Z and small z by minus big Z and small z bar, then you find that the product of this is just the norm square of Z, small z, big Z, time one. Okay? So this tells you that this is, of course, a division algebra. Now, of course, the none of this product is complex bilinear. Okay? We have seen that the cross product, the inner cross product, is two antilinear, anti-symmetric and antilinear. And of course, the scalar product, which is the component of the unit, is semi-linear. That is so finally, you have an algebra over the complex. SU3 is exactly what preserves what is the automorphism of this algebra, but the complex, the automorphism where you which is linear with respect to the complex, in spite of the fact that the algebra, the product of the algebra is not complex bilinear, okay? Now, you see, we know that there is something which is not expected, which is experimental, in that for any quark, you have a lepton, okay? Now, you see that the quark has three colors, okay? And SU3 act on it, but of course it does not act on the unit. So it's not at that where the component C, when I look at the octonion C plus C3. So the idea is natural, which said C would be correspond to the lepton, which has no inner corresponding to the quark, okay? So, the idea, so after, of course, when I found that, I remember after some time that I knew from a lot of time that if I take an imaginary of the octonion, the subgroup of G2, of the automorphism of the octonion, which preserve this imaginary, is a success. So, but you see here, my point was to try to understand in the other sense why a success. Why? What is the role of the unimodularity? And the role of the unimodularity is to fall on the octonion, but represented of C plus C3. And then what I propose, once you see that, which is not particularly original, is to interpret this really this view of the octonion C plus C3 as corresponding to not only to the color of the quark, but to the lepton quark symmetry, the symmetry quark lepton. Okay? So now you see this point out to the fact that what of course when I found that I was not happy because the octonion is not an algebra of observable. Okay? This is not a quantum algebra of observable. So at that time, I was reading, it's an old time, I was reading a paper by Adams where he constructs from the octonion and from the triality, he constructs the exceptional algebra of 3x3 Hermitian octonionic matrix. So I knew that this algebra exists and I follow this construction of Adams and I say, okay, So now, since I have the octonion, I know I have three generations. Okay, I will try to describe all this by looking at this algebra of quantum algebra of observable, this exceptional algebra. I remember that I explained that to Raymond Stora. He was in push. He said, yes, very good. So here, of course, is the story of the three generation. It's just what I said. Okay. So now I want to be a little more explicit but I will go quickly because I imagine that you know that what I call quantum geometry is of course finite quantum geometry is of course fiction, but which is described by an algebra of observable, which is finite dimensional, and which would be the analog of the function, the real function, over this. But it's convenient to have this picture. Now, I want to remember you the approach of Jordan, von Neumann, and Wigner to describe the general algebra like that. What is the fundamental thing of quantum theory is, of course, the spectral theory. So, in finite dimensions, the spectral theory cannot be too mysterious. What a priori, the algebra of observable, you can take the algebra of observable as be real, okay? And you want to be able to take polynomial function of any element, okay? In order to be able to. So if you want polynomial function, the first one is the square. You want a square, a quadratic operation on your real vector space, which will be such that if you depolarize this square, you obtain a symmetric product by this familiar procedure. Okay. Now, of course, if you want to have a functional calculus for the polynomial, you have to ask that if you define by induction the power, by saying that the n plus one power is x times the nth power, okay, this satisfies this associativity, which is called power associativity, okay? If you have this, you will have a functional calculus with polynomial. But now it's not good for quantum theory because in quantum theory, you want to have a real notion of positivity. In other words, you want that if you have a sum of square, okay, the square where our starting point which vanish, this implies that any element vanishes. In fact, it is sufficient to take some to ask that this is true for sum of two, and it will work. And there is a very surprising theorem, which I think was discovered by Jordan, which is that a finite dimensional commutative real algebra, which is power associative and formally real, which is satisfies this condition, it is automatically a Jordan algebra. That is, it satisfies the Jordan identity. Now, not all Jordan algebra has this property which of formal reality. So this one are called Euclidean Jordan algebra as well, okay? So this is the terminology that I will use. So, here I say, I already explained that all these conditions are really necessary to have really to can do spectral theory. And then, of course, you win because now UG is a finite dimensional Euclidean Jordan algebra, then it has automatically a unit. And second, you have a spectral resolution, a finite spectral resolution for each element of this algebra, a spectral resolution, by that is, it's a sum of real number times some primitive projector which are orthonormal and which sum to one. Okay? So the length of this, the number of this projector, the maximal number of eigenvalue of any is bounded, okay? And so you have a functional calculus, of course, immediately from that. So this means here you have you are in good position. Now the next, Jordan, von Neumann and Wigner classify this Jordan algebra. Says that any finite dimensional Jordan algebra is a sum of simple ideals. So, and they put on the table the list of the ideal. So this ideal, in this ideal, the number C is the number, is the length of the maximal length of the spectral resolution. Okay? So for C equal 1, you have the real number, nothing else. For C equal 2, you have what is called the spin factor. So spin factor means that you look at 1, it's generated, it has a unit. Okay, and it is generated by, for instance, n plus 1 matrix gamma. Well, it's not good to speak of matrix, so that their symmetric product, their product, okay, in the Jordan algebra, is defined such that gamma mu, gamma nu is delta mu times 1. Okay, so these are. Euclidean Jordan algebra, which are this one, which is called G-spin n plus 1, and which is denoted by G2n. So n has also an intrinsic meaning. I don't want, you can define it. It has a precise meaning, but in many cases, you know it. For instance, G2n is exactly the 2 by 2 real symmetric matrix. G22 is the self-adjoint 2 by 2 complex matrix, and G24 is the 2 by 2 Hermitian quaternionic matrix. And finally, also, G28 exists, and this is the 2 by 2 Hermitian octonionic matrix. Okay, they belong to this, but you see, this number n can take other values than 1, 2, 4, and 8. So after for 3, you see here, you for the 2 by 2 matrix, you know that the spectral resolution will be of France 2. Now you have to look at C equal 3. So for C equal 3, you have now only for the n up, the exponent 1, 2, 4, and 8. So you have, of course, the 3 by 3 symmetric matrix, the 3 by 3 Hermitian complex matrix, 3 by 3 Hermitian quaternionic matrix, and the 3 by 3 octonionic Hermitian matrix. Okay? Now, after, okay, you have only for n bigger or equal to 3, you can, the exponent is only 1, 2, and 4. So you have only the Hermitian matrix over the real, the complex, or the quaternion. The reason is that for n equal 4 or more, the Hermitian octonionic matrix is not an Euclidean Jordan algebra. You have no spectral theory, it's not an algebra of observable. So this is a very particular situation. So I will use, of course, that. And what the idea that the introduction that I did point out immediately to two factors, the one from which I was quoting, which is the Hermitian 3x3 matrix, the exceptional matrix, but there is another one. And it is thanks to my collaboration with my friend Ivan Todorov that we arrive at this, because we discover that this is perfect to describe one generation of the Chandar model. So we will come back quickly on this. Together now, of course, so we have the attention on this together with the fact that we want that the octonions which are here, we want to look at the subgroup of the automorphism of the Jordan algebra, which preserve the splitting of C plus C3 of the octonions occurring then, and operate linearly on C3, because of course this is the color group which is behind, okay, in our picture. Okay, so this is, you see, so what I will take as the inner space, which is on the other space of space-time. So this algebra of observant with the subgroup of the automorphism. So let me say a word on this subgroup. And already you see that I point the fact that the 2x2 Hermitian octonionic matrix are good because, of course, the 2x2, as I explained, the 2x2 Hermitian octonionic matrix is the spin factor G spin 9. Okay? So the automorphism group of this Jordan algebra is spin 9. Okay? And now, if you look at the subgroup of spin 9, which preserves the splitting of the octonion C plus C3, okay, we find exactly that it is the group of the standard model for one generation in all detail. So to see this action, what you do, you start from Hermitian octonionic matrix, and you have the one octonion and its conjugate here. And you cut this octonion, you represent this octonion as small z plus big z. Small z of which will be the component of the unit, but the unit with the complexified, okay? And the rest, so it remains only one octonion because there is no conjugation. When you conjugate an octonion, the part big Z change in minus big Z. There is only the I which changes in minus I in the complex, okay? Which means that Z becomes Z bar. So you have, at the end, an element. You have represented the G to 8 by some G to 2, so complex Hermitian matrix, 2x3, plus CC. Okay? Now, the action of U, V, you take U in U3 and V in SU3. So I will give you an action on the Hermitian part, okay? Complex Hermitian part. It's V, this SU2, which acts by the adjoint action, okay? V, H, V star, and the U operate on the Z. So the Z corresponded to the quark, okay? But so you have, of course, in the U, you have the SU, you have the SU3, the color group. And now it's easy to see that this is in fact an action, not on U3 cross SU2, but on SU3 cross SU2 cross U1 over Z6. We shall find another way in a moment to see that. You do the same thing for the case of the exceptional algebra, the 3x3 Hermitian matrix. And what you found then, of course, you see, you have three octonions. So you will have three vectors, three complex matrix. So what corresponds to this, when you make this decomposition, is...
Could I ask a question? Sorry to interrupt. Could I ask a question about your previous slide?
Sorry?
Could I ask a question about your previous slide? So the, this SU3 cross SU2 cross U1 that you have acting on J2O, is it chiral? Like, is the SU2 chiral? How do the representations work out?
No. This is just, for the moment, it's just the subgroup which preserve in the octonion, okay, the splitting C plus C3. You see,
okay.
The octonion is an octonion, okay? And the 2x2 Hermitian octonionic matrix is a 2x2 Hermitian octonionic matrix. So the automorphism group of this algebra is a group spin 9. Okay?
Mm-hmm. So, right, so this is at you're talking about the group, but so are you wanting to identify J2O with one generation? Is that your... You're just talking at the group level at this point.
This is why I will, at the end, take this algebra for the case where I am only interested to describe one generation of the standard model. Okay, because this group of the standard model, this group of the standard model is for one generation.
Okay, so my question is it going to end up being chiral?
No, it will become chiral eventually, but it will depend. You see, as I said, I do not put the particle here. The particle will occur in module over this. And then the way you will put your particle in the module, of course, you will have to take the space-time.
Right.
So you will take the tensor product, for instance, with the chiral spinner.
So the chirality of SU2, like SU2 acting only on left-handed states, that's going to show up later in your construction. Is that what you're saying?
I have exactly the most natural module that you find there is exactly Taylorized to produce all what you do in all what any physicist do. This is the same thing somehow. But okay. Of course,
I didn't quite hear that. Okay.
Action. Okay. So now I want to identify this subgroup of F4, which is the automorphism group of the exceptional algebra, which preserves this splitting. And I claim that this is, by the same argument, SU3 cross SU3 over Z3, with the action which I describe, which is described here, and which, okay. So now I want to point out to you that there is another way to describe this splitting, which may be very convenient, which I call the Z3 splitting principle, but which is something which is suggested in the course on Yokota by Yokota on exceptional group and use it for the octonion and for the exceptional algebra, but it works as well for the other. You see, once you have identified the complex number I with an imaginary octonion, then you have identified SU3 with a subgroup of the automorphism group of the octonion. And in particular, you have identified the center of SU3 as a subgroup of this automorphism group. And then you see how this reaction is induced. Well, you will define W of small z plus big z, okay? As, of course, it does not touch to the small z, which is the component of the unit. And then you simply multiply by the third root of unit, the primitive third root of unit, which has a positive imaginary, which is this here, okay? It's clear that you have W3 equal 1, okay? Now, if you take an element of 2 of G2H, that is a 2x2 octonionic matrix, okay? Then, of course, you can apply this W to the octonion inside, okay? And this W defines, in fact, an automorphism of this algebra. The same thing for the exceptional algebra, W, that is then in F4, okay? And the corresponding subgroup which leave, which permute with this that reaction, okay? For, well, you can imagine, it's clear that it works. For G2, it gives SU3. For spin 9, it gives the group of the standard model. And for F4, it gives you the group that we found already, okay? So now I have to say that the exceptional quantum factor is in fact exceptional, because when Jordan and von Neumann and Wigner fall on this, they do not succeed to represent it as one half of the anticommutator in an associative algebra. And they ask to Albert, and Albert proved that it was impossible. So it is exceptional in this sense. I call exception, not me. An algebra is called, Jordan algebra is called exceptional. It cannot be realized as one half of the anticommutator of associative algebra, okay? So in the case of the Euclidean Jordan algebra, this one is a unit. It is unit even in a larger class of Jordan algebra as follows from the theory of Zelmanov, but of course, which is a very nice theory, but which we don't need. So I want to say some word of what is the center and what is the derivation for algebra which are not associative or commutative. So the center, by definition, is the element of the algebra which permits to all the elements of the algebra and which associates to all the elements of the algebra. That is, if you take this denote the commutator, you can put this element at all positions and it gives zero for any pair of other elements. Okay, so this defines commutative, associative subalgebra of your algebra, whatever it is, okay? And this is simply for the computation. For the derivation is the same definition as usual. This is the infinitesimal automorphism. So this is the endomorphism which satisfies the Leibniz rule. Now, it turns out that the derivation is a module over the center in this sense, okay? This commutative associative algebra by defining like that. It is also a derivation by taking the commutator of the product, okay? And it has a property that any derivation preserves the center as I have defined it. This is for any algebra, okay? And third, it verifies this equation, which means that the pair, that derivation of an algebra and its center is a Lie Reinhart algebra. It's cool like that, but it is a very common. I can define, but this is in the notes, so I want to go more quickly. So a Jordan bimodule, okay? What I will call a Jordan bimodule. Of course, it is something on which a Jordan acts on the right and on the left. Okay, so you have two mapping like that, two linear mapping like that, and such that if you define the product of the direct sum of your Jordan algebra with its bimodule, it's an algebra for this product, which is called the null split extension because the element of the module has zero product between them. Okay? Then you will say that this is a Jordan bimodule if at the end this is a Jordan algebra. Okay? So the condition for that is this condition I2 and I3 that I wrote here. And you can add a condition if you want to have a unit, the Jordan bimodule be unital, you add that one times this, leave this invariant, okay? So since you see the first condition is that left multiplication and right multiplication are the same, I will call this a Jordan module. It's exactly like for the algebra in one side it's minus the other side, so you call a bimodule on a G algebra a representation a module. So it's exactly the same thing. So I will speak only a Jordan module. So there is another way to translate what I wrote, which is a very useful for computation sometimes, which is first, the first non-trivial condition is this one. And there is another condition when you develop the Jordan identity for this direction, which is given by this, which is not very transparent. But you see, you can cut this in two pieces. First, you take y equal x, which gives an identity here, which is useful for a lot of things. And second, it's followed from this, and this follows also from this, that if you take the commutator L its Ly commutator with Z plus the L of the associator, but L of the associator is minus the commutator Lx Ly applied to Z. Okay? So this last thing says that the commutator of Lx Ly is a derivation of your algebra. Okay? Because this is essentially the Leibniz rule, which is here. Okay, then I will consider only unital module, okay? So, since all my algebra has units, Euclidean, finite dimensional Euclidean Jordan algebra. Now I want to discuss you two kinds of bimodule which will occur in the following. First, the free bimodule. So a Jordan algebra itself is a bimodule over itself. This is not hard to show, and it is very natural, okay? So in particular, a summand several times the same Jordan is a bimodule, which I will call a free bimodule, okay? So the tensor product of real vector space with your Jordan algebra, these are what the bimodule I will consider. So there is first a small lemma. Suppose that you, of course, there is a notion of homomorphism of bimodule, and this notion is subtle, in fact, even in this case. If I take a Jordan homomorphism of the free bimodule G tensor of into the G bimodule G tensor F, okay, then this implies that phi of the center of G tensor A go into the center of G tensor F. So you see, it's go in the center. So this is not hard to, I guess the proof is not hard. And then the proposition that we prove with Dabrowski and Carotenuto is that if G is a unital Jordan algebra, then the functor which associates to Jordan bimodule, the Jordan module, the module, the corresponding module over this center is an isomorphism of category. That is, of course, in one sense it's clear, but if you start from an isomorphism, these are associative and commutative algebra, you start from ZG tensor E to ZG tensor F, you can recover, reconstruct completely your Jordan homomorphism, module homomorphism. Okay? So now there is another kind of, you see, we have in our series, we have the spin factor. We have the spin factor G2 8. This is, but it's not more difficult to see what happened for the other. So what I claim is that, of course, the Clifford algebra will be a Jordan bimodule if you take, you see, you define the product with an element in the Clifford algebra as one half of the anticommutator like that. It's very... Now, of course, this bimodule is a very natural one because this is a universal enveloping associative algebra of your Jordan algebra, which is special, of course, by, as consequence. Okay, and now you see you have a Poincaré Bierkowski theorem for that kind of object, which send the exterior algebra over Rn plus one into the Clifford algebra and Cln plus one, which consists to take you take the form component T1 to IP, and you associate to this the element of the Clifford algebra, which is defined by this. Okay. Well, there you take the associative product in this algebra. It's the associative product. Now the following proposition gives you exactly the decomposition in simple in irreducible module of this Clifford algebra. Okay. So what I claim is that if I look, you see, gamma p, of course, mean the image of the exterior product p time of Rn plus one, then of gamma p plus one, this is irreducible. And you see, if you take the anticommutator with a node number of different gamma, okay, then necessarily, if the gamma that you take is not in the different thing that you have, it's anticommute. But you see, from this, it will follow immediately that it is zero, the anticommutator by definition. Okay, if it is one of this, for instance, take the first one, okay, then of course it kills it by giving okay. But the other one also kill it, okay? And since it's odd, you cross an even number to kill it. So it gives the same thing. So it gives something which is in gamma 2p, which is even there, okay? And you do the same thing for gamma 2p, and then it can only increase, okay? So you see, there is no problem. So the only problem is that if you are in even degree, because the last one is even. But the last one, of course, is isomorphic to R, and it's easy to see that when you take the anticommutator of the volume, the one which represents the volume, it gives zero, okay? Because you have nothing. Okay, so you see, this is very useful. And after, it will be very useful to make the theory of connection of this module over the finite spin factor. And here I have some idea behind the head is that when I will take this module, okay, and I will take connection on this module, I will find eventually several connections which vanish. With a curvature will vanish, which means that if you take the norm square of the curvature, which is always well defined for the Euclidean Jordan algebra, okay, c'est essentially the trace. Okay, then this gives you a sort of potential which has several zero, and then it can mimic you a lot of things, of interesting things. So concerning the exceptional algebra. The exceptional algebra is very poor. It can only, the only irreductible module is itself. So you can only have three Jordan modules over the exceptional algebra. So you cannot do much, you see. And in a sense, I will be squeezed at some moment. So when I start that, and before all the discussion with Yvan, I try to compute, to construct a module to have the sixth generation. So the first, if you don't think to the chirality and things like that, you will say, okay, I will take something for the up generation, for the up family, and something for the down family, okay? And I will fill the matrix of the module like that. But of course, you see, then you have some real in the middle. Since I know that I will take a tensor product with Spinner. It's very natural since these are, the other are completely described by complex, okay? In our picture, C plus C3, okay? And so it's natural to associate that to Majorana particles at Spinner, which are equal to their antiparticles. So I was frightened by that. when I discussed with Stora, he said, no, no, there are a lot of people here at CERN who are trying to put things like that, so you can go ahead. But nevertheless, I was not, I stayed 7 years before writing that. So, but nevertheless, I developed immediately the theory, the differential calculus and the theory of connection, but I have. Okay, so of course, if you there is a problem to describe the U1 tensor U2 symmetry in this thing, So a way, of course, there is but I will skip quickly on this. This is a way to speak only on the electro weak part. Then. It uses a quaternion and it does exactly what I did before with the octonion, the matrix of octonion. Yes, it will be the 2x2 matrix. Okay, so now you see the problem now is that we have now two ways a priori to describe the triviality of the exceptional algebra. You can say, okay, this corresponds, the three octonion correspond to the three family, to the three generation, okay? Or you can say the two octonion correspond to the three 2x2 Hermitian matrix, which are in the orthogonal to the projector, which are on the diagonal. Formally, it's okay, exactly the same. But there is a difference because now. Ah,
non, c'est moi.
C'est toi, ah bon.
Alors, batterie.
Ah, ok. Sorry. There is. Now, I want to show you that the 2x2 Hermitian matrix are perfect for one generation. First, of course, a space, the analog of the Poincaré group for the outer space is exactly the group of the standard model for one generation. Okay, so this is an indication. But another indication is that say that we know that these 2x2 matrix are the spin factor G spin 9, so the morphism. Envelopping, the associative envelopping algebra of this, which is the bimodule, very natural, is a Clifford algebra, okay, of dimension 9. So, okay, there is several ways to consider the Clifford algebra. You can consider the real associative algebra generated envelopping algebra. But you can also take the complex star algebra generated by your matrix gamma of Hermitian element. You see.
Can I ask you another question? Do you mind?
Yes.
Okay, so you're getting at GSM by restricting yourself down to J28, but there's actually three different projections where you can do this, right? So if I understand correctly, then you're going to have three different copies of GSM where the three different copies overlap on the SU3, but then you've got basically three different copies of the electroweak part. Is that correct?
Forget for a moment. The state generation in G38, because it may be that it is not the right point of view. Because you see, the point is that as we shall see immediately, this Clifford algebra is perfect to place the particles, and in particular to place their independent observable, the serve component of the Weasel Spin, the hypercharge, etc.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear. The sound isn't coming through very clearly. But so just to clarify, so on the three different generations that you have, are you, do you have the same group acting on it, or is it three different copies of GSM?
Generation, okay. Let me just, of course, I can describe one generation as a restriction to the 2x2 matrix in the but this will not be okay, because if I take as a Jordan module the Clifford algebra, this is not a trivial module. It is not a free module. So it's very hard to glue the Z3 module for three generations to make a free module for the exceptional algebra. At least I did not succeed. So there is something more to invent if exceptional algebra come into the game, or if what this description, which is okay, is not the right one. Here, let me show that it is a standard description somehow. Because you see, this Clifford algebra is a 16x16 matrix two times. This means that if you want to look that in a Hilbert space, complex Hilbert space, it's of dimension 32, which is exactly what you have. So you can look at the people who place the particle by using, for instance, the exterior algebra and the model SU5 or spin of 10, and you can do exactly the same thing. Because you see the diagonal of this matrix, real, complex, or root, are the same. So this is exactly the place where you will put your independent observable, the spin, etc., etc. Like third component of the spin, sorry, electric charge, etc. So I mean that kind of with that, you have exactly what is needed covariant different collection, interior collection. This is in order to have a gauge theory in the second point of the book. And what I was saying okay, one can already see on this the slides to say what occurred. What I was saying in the abstract is that potential, the connection potential, you see, once you have a reference connection, the difference between two connections will be a homomorphism of module. Okay, so and from the point of view of space time, the component of this connection are scalar. They are purely scalar field. So you have a lot of scalar fields corresponding to the derivation of your Jordan algebra. Or if you restrict to the derivation which are in the sub algebra, which preserve this splitting. Okay. And okay, I don't know, but the important point is this is for the free module. You see, for the free module, look at point three. Okay? Point three, which is a connection. Suppose that's here, you start to have an obvious connection over here, because I have a differential calculus, which takes the differential and nothing on the vector space. You have made the product net. But if your Jordan algebra is a simple one, as for instance, the 3x3 Hermitian octavionic matrix or the 2x2 as the same thing, then the first term which is here vanish because these are scalar. These things are scalar because you have no sample. Okay, so what remains is that it's this for the curvature. So you see, each time that your gauge potential, okay, satisfy the relation is the algebra homomorphism from your algebra of derivation, okay, into the matrix on the fixed vector space, then you have a connection which has zero curvature.
Okay.
Now imagine that you have a gauge theory now. So you have the part on space-time and you have this part. So this part, if I take the norm of the curvature square with the Minkowskian on the space-time side, then this part gives you a potential which has several zero each time that the curvature vanishes. Okay. On the other hand, the part which is half on space-time and half of the curvature and half on the quantum side gives you the cinetic term for the term which are for the part which is purely on space-time for the scalar field. And finally, the part of the completely on space-time gives you the ordinary curvature square, which is the Lagrangian of the gauge theory, of the usual gauge theory. So you see, what I mean is that I have that something, and there is something very similar which will occur with the case of the connection of the different algebra, because first, in the case of a free module, you have a canonical connection here, which is given some simply because if you take a derivation of your 2x2 matrix here, yeah, okay, this is an element of SO and this one, okay? The algebra is SO and this one. And since we know that this is spin of N plus one, the automorphism group of this Jordan algebra, okay? And this leads to the Clifford algebra, as you know, canonically. And there's an homomorphism of algebra. So if I define delta zero of x for a derivation of my algebra and gamma, an element of the Clifford algebra, as x acting on this Clifford algebra, it's clear that this satisfies the action of connection. And on the other hand, it's obvious from the very definition that since this is an homomorphism of the algebra, the curvature is zero. So this means now that the other connection will be this particular flat connection plus the gauge potential. Okay? Gauge potential, which of course depends linearly of the form, the derivation, okay, the quantum derivation, and which are homomorphism of your Jordan algebra, of your Clifford algebra as bimodule. But now, and this is why it was important to classify, to be able to extract the decomposition in simple, in irreductible bimodule of the Clifford algebra. Because if you have only one bimodule, then this should be zero. There is nothing. Now, if you have one bimodule, which is repeated, one irreducible bimodule, but two times, then you can have a 2x2 matrix, which is there. So you can, in particular, have a representation of SU2 cross U1 there, which is non-trivial. So it's easy. Now, what I claim is that there is essentially three irreductible bimodules in the decomposition of the Clifford algebra, J2 8. Okay, the 2x2 Hermitian octonionic matrix. You have one which is your Jordan algebra itself. Okay, but of course it's two times because if you take the star operation, you have it on the other side. Okay, and after you have the gamma 3 plus gamma 2. Okay. But you have it also on the other side by taking the star operation. Okay, so these two irreducible things are of multiplicity two, And in the middle, you have, of course, a 4 plus 5. 4 plus 5, which is same dual. So here you are squeezed, it's irreducible, you cannot do anything. But in the two others, you can do something. For instance, you can say you can take 0.